Time and again, so many of our listeners tell us how frustrated they feel about our leaders, our rulers. In fact, so many of we the people feel both frustrated and even angered at American politics and politicians. That's both federal, state, and local. They are, or can become, a world unto themselves, these politicians, and in so many ways, indifferent to the wants and the needs of the voters who elected them. That would be we the people. So many millions of those voters feel disenfranchised. Politicians promise and no sooner elected, but those promises are broken. They become empowered and almost immediately forget about the people who gave them that power and the promises they made. So many claim to be independent, promise the voters that they will make sure it will not be politics as usual, that he or she will never succumb to the political pressure of their party, and that this new politician will be an agent for reform, and truly, truly represent the interests, the wants, and the needs of their constituents. But then comes Potomac fever. A congressperson gets to Washington, D.C., and almost immediately becomes mesmerized with Potomac power. Power. It is as though the congressperson was indoctrinated, and so very quickly, and it is made obvious to them, the newbie, that they must toe the party line, vote and legislate the way of the party, and the individual promises which brought the candidate to Washington are long since forgotten. Buried at the bottom of the Potomac River, they become part of the ruling class. Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely, the old saying goes. These men and women elected or nominated become part of the ruling class, members of the Washington oligarchy. They recognized almost immediately that they have become special, one of the very few, empowered, and so often become intoxicated with this world of political power. And as a result, they become different, if not even better, at least in their minds, than the ordinary American citizen who elected them. This person becomes part of the ruling class, part of the 5-4-5, who make the most important decisions for our lives. You do realize that, do you not? 545 people, that's all, tell us how to live. They don't ask our opinion. They care little or nothing about what we think, until election time, of course, when it's all about votes and money. And this power, this political power, begins its corruptive effect. And in so many cases, the corruption becomes absolute, to the point where they are no longer one of us. Men and women go to Washington and state capitals in pursuit of this power, driven to make decisions for us, we the people, and even for the world at large. And, like drugs, once tasted, the politicians, our rulers, only want more and more. And from congressperson to senator, and then perhaps president, or some other ambassadorship, or a secretary of a federal agency position. And that is so whether they are qualified or not. And it is probable that no politician is ever satisfied unless he or she runs for and becomes the president of the United States. Witness Hillary Clinton. Politicians who play the political game are supported by party political machines, which have deep roots among the electorate. Deep roots. As long as those politicians play the game, they are supported, publicized, and financed by that political machine and by the wealth of wealthy donors. We the people see this political power at work over and again, and it appears there is little we can do. Hence, our frustration, even our anger. And we ask time and time again, what can we do? What can we do except vote and hope? And eventually a well-intentioned candidate, elected, will become absolutely corrupted by Potomac fever. And then comes money, lots of it. Millions of dollars pour into coffers which can be utilized by the candidate in so many different ways, including even personal. Lifestyles of elected officials are radically changed. There are the best office facilities and staffing provided at the expense of our government, a large current wage, and a pension for life. and transportation and security and food and benefits and perks and so much else, provided and paid for by us. Money at work, which indeed makes them different from, and at least in their minds, better than we the people. They no longer have to work as we do, for their work is simply to tell us how we should live and what we should do and what we should believe. They tax and spend our money. They spend trillions of dollars, so often without accountability. They can live lavish lifestyles and in so many ways simply do as they wish. If power corrupts, and boy, it surely does, money and the political lust of that money corrupts as much and maybe even more. And when out of office, there are often lucrative jobs offered. They continue a political influence for the benefit of their private employers or themselves. And so many continue to have the very best of America, and perhaps even better when out of office. They were once a part of a ruling political class, an oligarchy, the rule of a few, 5-4-5. And they continue their strong associations and affiliations with political power any way they can. They are graduates from this rule of the few, but never separated. They are attached to the 545, the 435 members of Congress, the 100 senators, the 9 Supreme Court justices, and the president. And they are driven to be part of these politics at work forevermore. Money and power corrupt, and often corrupt absolutely. And of course there is fame. American politicians are known the world over. Some, for whatever reason, become famous immediately, like Ocasio-Cortez, like AOC. From a bartender to a world-known politician at the center of the stage of the Democratic Party. How does that happen? And that happened overnight, no matter the qualifications. Or a freshman senator from California, Harris. Or Booker from New Jersey. If one, anyone becomes a media darling, reputation shoots out nationally and then worldwide. Fame spreads for deeds well done and perhaps even further for misdeeds and corruption and illegality, even criminal offenses. And they seem only to enhance the reputation or the fame of the politician. And so very seldom is there any real accountability. The famous, like the Obamas, can continue to exercise that certain political power in a different way and have access to tens of millions of dollars through speaking and writing and other special ways of earning income. And they can exert that influence for individuals who have supported them and are willing to pay. And the gulf between them, the rulers, and us, we the people, becomes ever larger. The power, money, and the reputation of our great country, which should belong to us, is usurped by them. And the fruits of our democracy become theirs and not ours. In fact, our democracy is replaced by their oligarchy. Dialogue and debate are replaced by dictates and demands. We are forever told, not asked. We are in so many disenfranchised, so that time and again, we the people, frustrated and angry, ask, what can we do? What can we do? You know, it is truly amazing in so many cases the evident ego of a politician. There is almost always a sense of arrogance. Often the personality is indifferent and plastic and full of pretension, reacting to voters and real people in a political way. An unreal way. There is the smile, the handshaking, the superficial conversation, the limits in dialogue, talking rather than listening, pompous political ego at work. Of course, not all politicians, to be sure, but I think most. I think the majority, do you? The electorate, once sought after, that's you and me, now so often becomes, in the words of Hillary Clinton, the deplorables. Remember that? We, not part of that ruling class, the 545, are known as the deplorables. The words of the prototypic politician herself, Hillary Clinton. From choice and sought after voter, We the people, having cast our vote, become little more than deplorable. Harsh observations, but real and true. The source and the cause of our frustration and anger, that's it. We watch our democracy erode and even vanish before our eyes, and there seems so little we can do about it. But at times there are real reformers elected, like Donald John Trump. Unliked by so many, even hated by many, because he is so different. He despises the political establishment, and he works in ways to confound them. He communicates aggressively as a real person, and he is determined to expose Washington, D.C. for all that it is, and especially its deep state, especially the deep state. And he's determined to end that corrupt abuse of power and restore as much of traditional and constitutional America as he can in 4 years. So I believe, do you? Trump understands the Washington oligarchy and its lust for power. He sees how hundreds of millions of dollars, even billions of dollars, are misspent and available in so many illegal ways. He understands the uncontrolled growth of Washington and political ego, and he does so in many ways because he himself is possessed with an ego large, is he ever? The Trumpian effect is shake-up, cage-rattling, and exposure at all turns. Washington, D.C. has not seen that kind of reform from that kind of president in decades. But there is now a certain transparency. It is not politics as usual, but the unpredictable, the challenging, which is so unnerving to the political status quo. But there is a certain new balance in power and more transparency with regard to money. There is change at work as some politicians seek to make America great again, big time change in many ways. And that change is healthy. It's necessary, very necessary, if constitutional America is to survive. The four great corruptors are undergoing change, and some serious change. Namely, power, and money, and fame, and political ego. And that change, those changes, are absolutely necessary for this great country of ours to survive. We the people must do everything possible to make those changes happen.